high 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Wednesday, November 5th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Chase Brumfield right alongside manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. We've got a good show on tap for you today. A little bit of a note, I have got to go back to the dentist for a little follow-up. So I'm going to be leaving a little bit after 10:30, and we'll have the Drudy Armand interview that we did yesterday, which was really, really good on Alabama football and basketball for you. But up until that point, I'll be here in the studio and have a jam-packed show for that first hour and a half, really for the whole 2 hours. Again, if that Drudy Armand interview was really, really very well done, I think, yesterday. So we'll have that for you. But first, I need to tell you this hour, the Gary Harris Show, as always, being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking. Discover a branch near you. Alabama Credit Union is a top-rated local credit union with 38 locations across Alabama and one branch in Northwest Florida. We're ready to serve you. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put extra change in your pocket. All right, Matt Coulter on NASCAR coming up at 9:30. And, of course, Matt, break down the championship. Kyle Larson is the two-time NASCAR champion now, and so much bad luck for Denny Hamlin. It's unbelievable. Denny Hamlin deserves to be the champion, in my opinion, but he's not, and that's sports, that's racing. We'll discuss that. And at 10 o'clock, Larry the Music Man back for his segment, and that's going to be a lot of fun as well. We'll take calls for Larry the Music Man, too, as we always do. So looking forward to that. A couple news and notes. The NFL trade deadline yesterday afternoon brought a lot of excitement for some teams. The Jets are doing a full-fledged rebuild, trading top players for draft picks, including Quinnen Williams. How about them Cowboys? Quinnen Williams is headed to Big D. I'm happy for him. The Jets, you know, again, they're in full-fledged rebuild mode. Just a couple years ago, he was one of the premier defensive tackles in the NFL, and now he gets to go to a team. Listen, Dallas isn't a great team either, but still the Cowboys, they still feel like that they can make a push to get into the playoffs, and he is a badly needed addition. You know, it's one thing to have edge rushers. Quinnen Williams is an interior defensive lineman that can pass rush. He's an interior pass rusher. He can play the run as well, obviously. But pushing that pocket through the middle, man, that's what causes quarterbacks in the NFL a lot more problems even than edge guys, because they'll step up a lot of times and beat those edge guys. But if you collapse that pocket, so looking forward to seeing Quinnen Williams out there in the silver and blue of the Dallas Cowboys. Also, of course, college football playoff rankings released last night, the first ones. Good change. Pardon me for that. Could change a lot here in the next few weeks. But right now, Alabama is number four. Ahead of the Crimson Tide is Ohio State, Indiana, and Texas A&M. Of course, if Alabama were to finish fourth in the final rankings that come out after the conference championship games, then they would be, you know, they'd have a bye. But, again, a lot has to happen. A lot of SEC teams, of course. In fact, I mentioned the Aggies at three, Alabama at four, Georgia at five, and Ole Miss at six. BYU, Texas Tech, Oregon, and Notre Dame round out the top 10. The top ACC team is Virginia at number 14. Every team in the top 25 came from a Power Four conference, so the committee designated Memphis as the top team from the group of five. So Memphis, despite that loss to UAB, is in line right now to make the college football playoff. So that's interesting. If this were to hold up, and I doubt it will, but Alabama is the four seed, would be automatically in the quarterfinals and would play the Georgia-Memphis winner. How about that? Might get yet another crack at Georgia. Hey, you know what? It's still possible, depending on what happens, that Alabama and Georgia can meet in the SEC championship game. You know, unlikely, but possible. So you just can't seem to get away. If you're a Georgia fan, I know they keep saying they want another crack at Alabama, but I'm not sure that they really do. Outside of that, you got Bama soccer falling in a tough one to Vandy yesterday in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament down in Pensacola, 2-1. They were up 1-0. They got what is called a handball. You know about soccer. Here's what's disappointing, and Alabama's got a really good goalie. She just misread the ball because the Vanderbilt ball player was kicking the ball down the field, and she came out of the box, I think, thinking she could get to the ball first, and she didn't, and the Vanderbilt player was right on top of her, and she put up her hands, and that's a red card. She's out of the game. You're playing with one less player, and they got a penalty kick, and they scored on the penalty kick to tie it 1-1. And went on to win it 2-1. So tough loss, but I do think Alabama will make it into the NCAA tournament. But tough loss yesterday for the Crimson Tide. Flag football playoffs are underway, man. It's girls flag football. Chase has really taken off. Paul Bryant lost at home last night to Smith Station, and Northridge lost on the road to Central Phoenix City in Class 6A, 7A. Flag football action. So, all right, we're off and running here on the show. We've got Matt Coulter on NASCAR coming up at 9:30. Your phone calls are welcome. Of course, Alabama football continuing to prepare for the game against LSU on Saturday night. And the Tide is a team that right now, as you heard me say, with the playoffs positioned perfectly to be in the contention for a national championship. We got to finish the drill, as we say. Hopefully, they'll be able to do that. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our first break. Corey and Trustful, you hold tight. We're going to get you on the other side. Anybody else that wants to call in, 205-342-9904. We'd love to hear from you. So give us a ring. Matt Coulter coming up at 9:30. This is the Gary Harris Show on Tide, 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good morning. I'm Mary Kay with the Town Square Media Newsroom. An Alabamian should brace for another cold weather surge early next week, bringing the season's lowest temperature so far to the area, with some West Alabama counties experiencing a 21-degree difference between their Saturday night low and their Sunday night low. And the United Way of West Alabama is donating $50,000 to local food pantries to help families struggling with the rising food insecurities. And in Alabama
Chiropractic, the only third generation chiropractor with over 27 years experience in Tuscaloosa. Call Tidwell Chiropractic at 752-7503.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend to reminisce on college days or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meeting 3.com.
Your West Alabama High School football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt, and Taco Casa.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another beautiful day today with a sunny sky, the high 74. Clear tonight, the low 48. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 75. Friday, increasingly cloudy, the chance of a shower by afternoon. Friday's high 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Yeah, 9:16 on the Gary Harris Show. Time for phone calls. We got Corey and Trustful. Then we get to the Sheriff, Tom. Corey and Trustful, you're leading us off. Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
Well, you know, Alabama and LSU, I don't know if you knew this or not, but this will be the 27th meeting this century. Alabama leads 15-11. And during the first part of the century, LSU led won nine of the first 12
mm-hmm.
in the century. And then when Nick Saban came, it turned it around. And Alabama's dominated this series as of lately, but it used to not be that way. And what's been surprising is that Alabama has blown out LSU these last two games. And really it was because of Jalen Milroe's legs. destroyed LSU on the ground. And even though Ty Simpson's not a running quarterback, he still can hurt you on the ground. LSU's run defense is not good at all. Even though we don't have a running game, a strong running game, I still think Alabama can do some damage on the ground. And that's what Alabama needs to take advantage of Alabama's poor run defense to develop confidence. Because Alabama's not going to make a strong run in the playoff just by passing the ball. You can't be one-dimensional if Alabama wants to win the national championship or make a deep playoff run. They've got to establish a respectable running game if they want to make a deep playoff run. It starts with taking advantage of a weak running deep rushing defense of LSU and building some confidence going forward.
Yeah, you make a good point, Corey. I think they've worked on the running game. I think that they've run enough that, they've been able to keep defenses honest. I know they'd like to run it better. They're coming off a bye week. So with what you said in mind, I'm sure they've worked hard on it this week and would like to establish a running game against LSU. It'll be interesting to see what they're able to do with the running game going forward. I think that they've they're not going to reinvent themselves 8 games into the season. I don't think this is going to be a great running team, but I think they can run the ball more effectively. I'd like to see Daniel Hill get involved more in the run game. He's been doing a lot with the pass catching side of it, but he's a big behind your pads runner. And I'm with you. I think they got a chance on Saturday night against the LSU defense to run the football. It'd be nice to see.
What is your favorite Alabama LSU memory or game?
Oh, Lord. There's a lot of them. I mean, there was a time when, Bama didn't lose in Baton Rouge. I remember 1987, I was down there when LSU was a big favorite with Mike Argers, the head coach, and Tommy Hodson as the quarterback, and Alabama went in there and whipped them. And then, of course, under Saban, there's been, I was down there in 2012 after Alabama offensively had not done much the entire game, and then the yelled and screamed pass to win the game, and just so many of them. Of course, the national championship game, the 9-6 game here in 2011 was a great game. Alabama should have won it, but they didn't. And then to come back and win the national championship, that was one. What about you?
I think the one I like was when Derrick Henry took the Heisman Trophy from Leonard Fournette, because people just declared Leonard Fournette the Heisman Trophy winner, and he didn't do anything that game, and Derrick Henry essentially won the Heisman Trophy that night.
Agreed.
And I think the one loss that sticks in my craw, and they were just the better team, was the 2019 team. It was not necessarily just the game, but just all the crap LSU said after the game. But there was nothing we could do about it. We lost the game, and yes, the 9-6 game, all the Alabama players will say it was more of them, us than them, and that is true. And not many times you get second chances against the team. But, man, I enjoyed that game because nobody picked Alabama when we beat LSU because it was in New Orleans, and they thought that it was just going to be LSU's night. And Alabama, the score might not necessarily reflect a complete – the score don't reflect the outcome, but when you watch the game, it was a complete domination, and just it was probably the greatest defensive performance I've ever seen in my lifetime. And that was, you could make an argument from both teams that was the greatest collection of NFL talent in one game as far as two teams put together.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. I agree 100%. Hey, great call, Corey. Got to get to some other callers. Thank you, my friend.
Good talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
All right, appreciate you. We'll get to Tom and then rolling over at beautiful Lake Gunnersville. Hey, Tom.
Morning, Gary. How are you this morning? I'm a beautiful fall weather.
Oh, it is. It's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
I got up this morning on my walk, and I got up before sun up, and the moon and the sky and the temperature. Gary, you would not believe the beauty that was on display.
Well, I I missed it because I wasn't up that early, but it's beautiful.
Well, I'm not Friday.
No, I know you weren't. I mean, I don't get home till, but I'm just saying I hate I missed it, but it was beautiful still when I got up this morning. The sun was already shining, it's great out there.
Yeah, and it's huge. I can't remember a full moon being this big, but I called about the basketball team, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Did you get to watch a game any at all the other
night? Yeah, I had it on my computer at work. I didn't go over there, but I stay at a TV station. So I watched a good portion of it, yeah.
You know, when I got there, Alabama was playing a lot of people. And this year, I hadn't gotten used to everybody that's on the roster yet. But it was interesting to see that, you know, that we've got some talented individuals. The three freshmen are kind of mind-blowing to me. They're very talented young men, and I look forward to their development. But I wanted to ask you, this is my question. I want your take on it. You know, I'm watching the game, and I'm going, you know, we're not playing that good of defense. We're not rebounding as good as I think we should. And this, that, and the other, you know, the normal. Then all of a sudden, he changes the people that's on the floor. And I noticed that, you know, that North Dakota, I know it's North Dakota State. Don't tell me I got it.
It was North Dakota. It was North Dakota, actually, but that's okay.
Well, whoever. But they didn't score, and they didn't get any rebounds. And I got to looking, and he had a different group in there, had the real tall transfer kid. Is it Cornell?
From Bucknell, yeah.
That he came from? Yeah, Bucknell. And
Noah Williamson.
And we had two or three bigs in there. And the defense was perfect for that stretch, and the rebounding was perfect. Then all of a sudden, that wasn't good enough. He had to take them out. And do you think a coach at this point in the year, getting ready for a big game on Saturday, wants to look at all kind of combinations, and then he threw that combination in there that played that really good defense? Do you think that is part of an early season experiment?
I do. I think especially with having four guys out of the lineup, it gave him a chance to play some of those freshmen. And I think you're exactly right. He wanted to look at as many combinations as he could against a team that he knew that they would get the win against before going up there Saturday, when the bench will be shorter. Playing a St. John's team that's ranked number 5 in the country at Madison Square Garden, I think you'll see him play probably less players and hopefully have some of those guys back that were, you know, not dressed
for. Yeah, that's what I'm going to ask you, too, about the ones that was over there in street clothes. My God. I mean, Reitzel, I mean, he plays a quarter and is out for 2 weeks. I don't get it.
Well, they've had a hard time keeping a healthy roster at Alabama every year. There seems like there's always somebody out. I don't know what that is. I know they practice really hard. Maybe that's got something to do with it. But the good news is for Reitzel, it wasn't what had kept him out. So I think Reitzel and Holloway and hopefully Bristow will all be back. I mean, obviously Bethea's out for, because they need Bristow in there too, his height and his ability to rebound. So hopefully they'll be back.
Is Bethea out for the year?
Who? No, he'll be back at some point, but it's going to be a while. But
You think he'll be back for SEC?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I do. Again, I don't know for sure, but, that's, what I'm hearing. But at the same time, we're going to find out a lot about Alabama basketball on Saturday, because that is not going to be an easy game at all. Right. So, hey, thank you, Tom.
11 o'clock.
Yep.
Thank you, Gary.
Appreciate it. All right, let's get to Roland over in Guntersville. Hey, Roland.
Hey, Gary. Good morning. Hope you're doing well. I got a couple quick questions, and I'll probably just let you go since getting up at the time. Corey kind of stole some of thunder on the running game, and I realize that we're not going to be a team that's going to run for 200 or 300 yards and, be the top 2 or 3 in SEC. But, this it mystifies me that we can't run the ball any better. Because, people keep claiming it's the backs. It's not the backs. We've got quality backs. I mean, just look at Justin Haynes. He goes to Michigan and, he's really good. And we all knew that. And we got backs that could probably start on a lot of teams. We've got a guy coming next year who's supposed to be one of the best running backs in the country. Is it the scheme on the offensive line? I don't know if the offensive line is that bad, but, you know, we keep blaming the offensive line coaches. We keep blaming everything, the running backs, the coaching, the players on the line. And, you know, it just seems like we're not getting no push up front to get the running game going to get the 4 or 5 yards. And I just want to know what you think of that, and if it's the scheme or what it is. And my other question is, on the women's basketball of the night, I don't know if you got to see them or not, but the, you know, they opened up with Stetson, which I don't know how good Stetson is, but it was a nip and tuck game most of the way. What I took away from it, you know, they're missing a toughness that they had last year with Sarah, you know, Barker. And I think it's going to be a good team. And I know Ace Austin was out. Are they expecting her to contribute a lot this year? Or what have you heard on her as far as, you know, her what they expect on her this year?
Yeah, all right. First, on the running game, Rowan, I think it's probably a combination of all of that. I think that the backs are good. I don't think right now there's what I would call a marquee back in that group. I think that you know, they're working on it. I think they've run it, you know, okay. I mean, I don't think it's been terrible, but it needs to be better. As far as the women's basketball is concerned, yeah, they're feeling the effects of losing, you know, three really good players. I think Ace Austin is going to be an outstanding player. Hopefully, you know, we'll see more from her going forward. But the women's basketball team, I think, is going to have and we're going to have Christy Curry on Friday, by the way. I think they're going to have a little bit of a period of transition from that team they had last year, which was a really good team, a team that probably should have, they should have beaten Maryland in the second round of the NCAA tournament. So I think there's just some growing pains, but I think they'll get better as the year goes along. Hey, thank you, Roland. We're going to try to get one more call in as we're going to try to get Ragged Glory in here real quick. What's up, Ragged Glory?
Hey, good morning, Gary. Thank you for taking this call. If you would, I'm curious to find out from Matt Colford what his thoughts will be with Connor Zilich coming out of Xfinity into the NASCAR Cup division. And number one, is it too soon? Should he stay back in Xfinity? Or is he going to be the next phenom, you know? Just, I'd like to have him give me his thoughts about it.
All right, I'll ask him for sure.
Thank you so much. Roll Tide, and you guys, I'll look forward to your music.
All right, absolutely. Thank you, Raggy Glory. All right, it's 9:30 here on The Gary Harris Show. Before we hit to this break, I do want to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. Game Day Men's Health offers convenient, expert-backed care for all men looking to feel and perform their best. That is so important in every area of your life. Fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, and weight gain aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. And at Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. They'll do your blood work and have it back to you in just 15 minutes. They can find out what is ailing you, and they can help you have boosted energy levels, improve your motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduce belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery, and yes, natural hair regrowth support. Get in the game at Game Day Men's Health, 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. I have visited the clinic. It is absolutely beautiful, and you'll enjoy your trip there for a free consultation. Tell them you heard about it on The Gary Harris Show. That's Game Day Men's Health. We're coming back with Matt Coulter on NASCAR next here on The Gary Harris Show. All around you.
Thank you to all of our wonderful customers. If you need us, call or text 205-553-0958.
Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and out.
Making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages,
and... The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed.
All right, 9:34. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for the Matt Coulter on NASCAR segment as we wrapped up the 2025 campaign at Phoenix over the weekend. And Kyle Larson is now a two-time NASCAR Series champion and the heartbreak for Denny Hamlin. We're going to get into all of that. We'll talk about a little bit about the race winner, Ryan Blaney, who did not get talked about at all on the coverage on NBC on Saturday. And we'll look ahead to the 2026 season. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, Gary, how are you? How's everybody in Tuscaloosa?
Doing great. Good to have you on, as always. And you know, I feel about a snake bitten as Denny Hamlin. I had him, you know, as my selection to win the race and, of course, win the championship if he had done that. And would have gotten me my third win. You dominated 10-2 in the race competition. But for Denny, you know, and like I've said before, I've never really been that big a Denny Hamlin fan. I've warmed up to him some this year. I guess it's because you look at his age and you look at what he's doing as compared to contemporaries like Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch, who can't win a race. And here he has had a dominant season and clearly was going to win that race. He was out front. Nobody was going to catch him. And Larson's teammate, William Byron, blows a tire with just a couple, three laps to go. And, you know, brings everybody in for the overtime restart. And I don't know why Denny took four tires. I'll ask you, you know, your thoughts on that. But he kind of got shuffled back and couldn't get to the leaders. And Larson finished the first in the championship four. Blaney won the race. And Denny was left to think about what might have been again.
Yeah, I think he handled himself with such class, though. That made me a little bit more of a Denny Hamlin fan, just simply the way he handled it. And, you know, he had it. He was three miles.
Oh, yeah, he was going to win the race.
And he's got 60 wins. I mean, he's one of the best to ever get behind the wheel. And just odd how it hasn't happened for him because he has had such great seasons in the past. And it was really difficult to watch with all the tire problems. And what was it that ended up getting Denny Hamlin? It was a tire problem, but it was a teammate, William Byron. But all four of the championship drivers blew a tire. I can't remember a situation on a track here over the last few years where I've seen that many blown tires. So it's kind of a shame that it had to end under a little bit of a rubber tire, so to speak. But, again, Hamlin handled himself incredibly well because, you know, he's been known to fly off the handle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't, and I was proud to see that. And, you know, he kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, you know, I'll give it a couple more shots. But, you know, he is getting old. He's in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to retire soon. It's about that time. But he's still winning a lot of races. Who knows? Maybe – we said this exact same time last year, maybe 2026 is his year.
Yeah, maybe so, and I'm with you. I thought he handled himself really well, too. Now, he was exasperated, too, and exhausted. You know, he didn't have a lot of – he had spent himself. I do want to ask you about the decision. Again, you know much more about the technical side of racing. I know he said afterwards we didn't have a choice but to take four, but by taking four with most of the cars taking two, there were just too many cars between him and the leaders. I thought, why not just take two in that situation? I guess they didn't feel like they'd have the grip, but you know, I didn't understand with that short a period left to run with an overtime segment to go, how he felt like he could get past that many cars and get back to the front. I don't really understand the strategy there. Can you fill us in?
I wish I could tell you. I really could. I was surprised because, you know, if it had been 10 laps left, it would have made a lot more sense. But there were only three. They were only, you know, they were down in the checkers, right?
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. Three laps, so, yeah.
So it really didn't make any sense to me. You know, when they did the restart, it looked like he got a jump as he was coming down low. But it's what you just said, Gary. There are too many cars. He was not back in the pack, but he was eighth, ninth, something like that. And it just didn't happen for him. And I have not heard an explanation other than the fact that they just felt like they needed the grip in order to close it.
Yeah.
But they were the leading car. You know, I just take two and see what happens.
I would have done that again.
By the way, that's Denny Hamlin behind the wheel. And if anybody can hold the ball for a championship, it's probably the 11. But it didn't happen, and I'm still a bit puzzled by that move. But
yeah,
let's move on. You're a big Blaney guy, so congratulations to him. However, I sure wish Brad Kay could have won it.
Yeah, a lot of Brad Kay had a chance to win the race, and I want to get to that in a moment because we know why all those Gibbs and Hendrick drivers were so happy that Ford wasn't in Phoenix, in the final four at Phoenix. But for Kyle Larson, man, you don't tell him to keep the trophy. I mean, you take it. I don't think he was embarrassed by it. I think he was surprised. And even William Byron, his teammate, came in to Hamlin in the postgame press conference and apologized, you know, because I think that every driver out there knows that Denny Hamlin deserved that championship. Having said that, that's racing luck. That's sports. That's part of it. And, you know, Kyle Larson put himself in position after hadn't let a lap. I mean, it's just remarkable that he's the champion. And listen, he's a top-tier driver. I get it. I'm not probably as high on him as everybody else is because until you went on a super speedway, I mean, I can't consider you the best driver out there when there's a whole genre of racetracks that you've never won a race on. But he is really good, and he did win the champion, and that's two for him. And as we know, winning one is special. Once you start winning multiple championships, you really separate yourself from everybody else. So he's done that.
Yeah, he has. You know, he's a good driver. And, you know, he didn't win the most popular driver award. Chase Elliott wins it every year. Good for Chase Elliott. But he never led a lap. I mean, that's... And yet he's got the NASCAR Cup Series trophy. That's just crazy. Got to give him credit. I mean, he won the races. He got there. He was in position. You know, he took advantage of a bad situation for the 11 car. And he ended up, victory lane, actually. That was where Blaney went. But they did everything on the front straightaway, which is kind of cool. But it's tough. It was a tough race to watch. I was concerned about all the tires blowing, weren't you?
Yeah, I don't really understand it. And, you know, it played, like you said, it factored in. But I guess at the end of the day, it was even because all four of them blew one. Your guy, Chase Briscoe, he had a good car. I mean, all those four had good cars. You know, there was a while after his blowout, he got back up there, and I thought had a chance. So they all had their chances. You know, Byron was running second. He was not going to catch Hamlin, but he was going to, you know, he was going to finish second when he blew one. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, Larson, like we said, he'll certainly take it. And, you know what a championship means to the organization, to the team and to the driver financially, everything else. I mean, it's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. So for Rick Hendrick and Kyle Larson, doesn't matter how you get there. You know, last year Logano won it, and he, you know, of course he won the race at Phoenix, but he would not even have been in the playoffs had it not been for, you know, Dylan having that race win taken away. So luck's part of it, right, Matt? And, of course, I always, you know, go by the saying, you know, the better I am, the luckier I get. And I guess, you know, that's kind of true in racing.
Yeah, it's true in racing. By the way, and I'm not throwing this back out there to brag, but I did not have 10. I only had 9 wins.
Oh, it was 9? Okay. 9. No, but still,
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's amazing you did, because I got 7 last year and thought I had been.
You got to have a lot of luck, and I think 3 of my 9 were SVG. I think both of yours were, but that's something else we'll talk about at the very beginning of the year. I wonder if they're all going to go to the land of Kiwi and learn how to drive like.
Well, I'm sure Jeff Payton would have. Yeah, I know they got to keep up with him or do something about those. I'm sure Jeff Payton would have corrected me on the number of wins, but Yeah, I want to thank Jeff again. He just sent me a text earlier thanking me for letting thanking us for letting him do the stats for us. And I was like, no, man, thank you. You've helped us out a ton.
Thank you, Jeff, up there in Tennessee.
All right, let's get to the winner. And I think that was the fourth win for Blaney. He's won a championship, but I think that's the most wins he's ever had in NASCAR season. But it looked like Keselowski was going to win that race. And I guess I guess Blaney just got him right there at the end.
Yeah, and nothing against Blaney because you and I both like him. But, man, I would like to have seen the six go to victory lane. It's been 3.5 years now.
Jeez.
Can you believe it's been that long?
No, I can't.
You know, it's not the first time he's been up front, you know. He hasn't had the most dominating car in these races, but he can and get there, and he can lead races. But, you know, on the other side, let's credit Blaney. Because suddenly Blaney just ducked down, took the checkered flag, won the race. But he's a heck of a driver too. He might be my favorite. I don't know if I'm gonna pick anybody today, but Blaney would be certainly someone I would consider to win it all next year.
Oh no, no doubt. Yeah, he's right there. And speaking of that, this year again, the race could have played out differently. Let's say that Blaney had you know, he finished fifth in the final round, and so he didn't make the championship four. But we see why. You know, there was a lot of fear that if either Logano or Blaney got in that final four, they would have been the cars to beat at Phoenix. And as it turned out, Blaney wound up winning the race. And I think Logano had third, I think, or fourth. So let's see here. Blaney, Keselowski, Larson, Logano, Busch was the top five. So the Hendrick and Gibbs cars avoided the Penske cars and worked out, I guess, for them.
Yeah, and everybody avoided Carson Hocevar. That guy's just a caution flag waiting.
He better watch it now. He's not making any friends, and talented or not, he's gonna have to change his style just a little bit. Won't he matter? He's gonna have everybody out to get him because
I would imagine he's gonna have a couple of conversations in the offseason, and that would be ownership, sponsorship, other drivers. He's obviously got the skill set to get out there and win some races, but sometimes he just, you know, when you're a NASCAR driver, you've got to learn where that envelope edge is. And he pushes it past the edge, and he seems to do it almost every week. And he ends up spinning out or ends up using his tires up and then blowing one. So, they're guys that have been accident prone in the past, but I don't remember one recent. Carson Hocevar. And, you know, that's like we just said, maybe that's somebody that's going to get a talking to.
Yeah, the most recent one, but not to that level, probably would be Ross Chastain, wouldn't you say, Matt? And he kind of adjusted his driving style. He's a very talented driver, too.
He won races.
Yeah.
He won.
A lot. So
it's at least a little easier to swallow when you're winning some races and you're wrecking at the same time.
All right, Rag of Glory called in earlier and wanted me to ask you about Connor Zilitch making the move from Xfinity up to Cup Series, 19 years old, I guess the latest phenom. What do you think about that? Is it too soon?
No, I think this guy's going to come in like William Byron did.
Okay.
He's an unbelievable driver. I had a chance to interview him when we were over at Talladega a month ago, and he's just a good kid, but that's what he is.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, I can't remember when I was 19. Actually, I can, but 19 years old, and not that I was gawk or anything, I don't think he shaves, you know? But we said the same thing about William Byron, and now he's got a full beard. So we'll see, but he's making the move the right time, and he's got an incredible skill set. And I don't think he's going to be one of these guys that'll come in. It'll take him a few years to adjust. I think he's adjusted. I think he is victory lane ready.
And Trackhouse is a hot team. So, you know, we mentioned Chastain and obviously SVG on the road courses. So now you bring in a guy who, like you said, has incredible talent to kind of round out that organization. They could be strong in 2026.
Yeah, and they're kind of good, you know. You got Gibbs and you got Penske and you got Hendrick, but it's good to see somebody else picking up some wins too. And then, you know, you got the 2311 team They're not bad either.
Yeah, so, and you mentioned Keselowski. You'd like to see RFK make a move and you know, get back there among the contenders too, because I think more the merrier. I don't like it when it's just two or three teams that are kind of dominating. I'd like to see a half dozen organizations, you know, teams that have legitimate chances. And, you know, I'll ask you this before we wrap it up, because, again, the system, the series is the series, the system is the system, everybody's playing under the same rules. I kind of like the format with the points and narrowing it down. I guess my only criticism would be maybe you start at 20 and then go to 16 and then go to 12 and then go to 8. And how about having 8 racers in that final race with a chance to win? If 4 is good, couldn't you say that 8 would be better and give more guys an opportunity in the final race to win a championship? That wouldn't be a huge tweak. That'd be just tweaking the number of drivers.
I kind of like the idea of expanding the field going in. I don't know if I want 8 in the finals. I'd have to think about that one. But
maybe you know, even 6. Maybe you could do 6.
Yeah, 6 is, why does that number sound so much better? That sounds perfect to me suddenly. Okay, you do the format. I don't know. I'll throw it back at you, too. Do you think they'll change it in the offseason?
I know.
Really?
If they did, it would be a very minor tweak. Maybe like we're talking about with just the number of the cars. I do think they like it. You know, like I said, maybe you can increase it to 20 instead of 16 and work down from there. And like you said, or I said, maybe, you know, finish up with, because if you'd had 6, Blaney would have been in that final 6 and he might have very well won the championship.
He'd have won it all.
Yeah. So I don't. You know, I know I'm hearing a lot of people on Twitter, a lot of NASCAR fans are saying, you know, there needs to be slanted more toward the amount of wins. But over the course of 30-something races, you could have a guy that won 6 races and then he might have 6 DNFs and he might have 6 where he didn't even finish in the top 10. So it's not just about winning. It is about consistency. So I don't know. I think the point system the way it is now, Matt, I think is pretty good.
I agree. And we talked about this, I think, last week or the week before. We both like the stages.
Yeah, I do.
I like having the 2 races within the race.
So I do, too. A lot.
It would not bother me if they didn't tweak it at all. But I think there's so much so much talk about it that sometimes NASCAR will just feel pressed to do it because they think they're helping out the fans. But I don't hear a lot of people on my end that are complaining about it. I like it. I think the reward system for you win, you're automatically in. The old system was just collectively over 30 race season, and there wasn't as much emphasis on winning. But this puts a pretty high price on winning because if you win, you're in. And I hope they just kind of keep it the way they do. Maybe they'll expand it a little bit, but that's the only tweak I would call for.
I'm with you. You win, you're in, and yet if you don't win, you still have a chance to work your way in through the points. So I think it combines both elements very well. It was a great season, Matt. Kyle Larson, the 2025 champion, and heck, man, before you know it, it's not a very long off season. We get through the holidays, and they'll be back ready to run at Daytona here in just a few months.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on. I enjoy this. Seems like a lot of listeners tied 100.9 do too. I'll be there Saturday. I appreciate your time, and we'll talk some college football. But I think I'd give this – let's wrap it up with this. I think I would give this year a B.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I might give it a B+, but I don't think I'd give it an A, so I think we're about on the same page. No, hey, thank you, Matt. Right.
You bet. Roll Tide.
All right, 9:52. We'll break away and come back and wrap up hour number one. We'll do it right after this.
Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another beautiful day today with a sunny sky, the high 74. Clear tonight, the low 48. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 75. Friday, increasingly cloudy, the chance of a shower by afternoon. Friday's high 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama.
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9.
100.9 app.
Writing it down for hour number one. Hour number two is coming up. We're going to get kicked off with Larry the Music Man. You're invited to call in as we discuss the world of music with the Georgia Country Music Hall of Fame member, Larry Butler. Larry the Music Man coming up in the second hour. As I said, I'll be leaving a little bit early today to go to the dentist, but in that last half hour, Chase is going to replay the Drudy Arman interview from yesterday on Alabama football and men's basketball, which was very informative. So stay with us. Another hour of the Gary Harris Show is on the way. We'll be right back with hour number two right here on Tide 100.9 FM at 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
T-Pro 256 gigs, $1,099.99, and new line minimum $100 plus a month plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Oklahoma City Thunder are 8-0 after winning the NBA's late game at the Clippers 126-107. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 30 points and 12 assists. Golden State held on for a home win over Phoenix 118-107 despite 38 points from the Suns' Devin Booker. Home victories for Toronto and Atlanta and for New Orleans, which had been 0-6 but beat Charlotte 116-112. Charlotte did not score a point in the last 3 minutes. And at Chicago, the Bulls trailed by 24 in the first half and still beat Philadelphia 113-111. Josh Giddey, a triple-double. NHL wins for Utah in overtime at Buffalo. Philadelphia in a shootout at Montreal. LA took the late game 3-0 against Winnipeg. The New York Jets traded defensive back Sauce Gardner to the Colts. And in the first college football playoff rankings, the top three are Ohio State, Indiana, and Texas A&M.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, welcome into hour number two of the Gary Harris Show, and it is time for Larry the Music Man. Not a better feel-good song ever written than that one right there. I think it came out in 76. There was a country version. But when you hear that song, Larry, regardless of whether it's on the radio or on a jingle, you hear it sometimes still on in commercials, it is just a most positive, upbeat song and kind of, I think, it perfectly represents the vibe from the mid-70s. Great choice.
Gary Harrison, I had a brain freeze. I forgot to message you. I did call Chase. I always back it up with him. That song, you took the words out of my mouth. I have ridden down the highway so many times, and everybody, we're all singing that song, or I'm singing it to somebody, or we're singing it together, you know. It Orleans, that's kind of what the show's built around today. I told somebody earlier this week the 70s has been like a big bowl of banana pudding.
Sure has.
Yeah. If Gary, it has on a 16-layer or 10-layer chocolate cake.
Yeah.
We're getting down to the bottom of the bowl, and we cannot leave these groups out that don't get mentioned, that get lost with the bigger names but had such an impact. And what I want is help from the callers. I've already got my list for next week. Today I'm going to mention five, and if it rings a bell, jogs a memory, I want input, and if I miss something, I want someone to tell me, because I'm going to tell you, there were one-hit wonders we didn't even touch.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of them from the 70s.
And I don't want to leave these groups we're going to go to today were not one-hit wonders. They were huge impact in the 70s, but they just didn't last into the 80s. A couple did, but they just got lost in the shuffle. And before we get into the 60s, I want to make sure we the door shut on the 70s.
Oh, I'm with you. I don't have a problem staying in the 70s for a few more weeks, because, like you said, this is a great topic today. This is a great topic, because you're right. Whether they were one-hit wonders or they were groups that stood around for two or three years, the 70s, because by the 70s, and remember, Orleans had that song Dance With Me, too, which was a great song. Remember that one, Larry?
Oh, my God.
Dance With Me. So,
man, beautiful harmony.
Yeah, so they're really good. And the one thing about that period in music was we were established. You know, rock and roll was established. It was an established genre. You know, we'd had Elvis, we'd had Chuck Berry, we'd had Little Richard, we'd had the British Invasion, we had had, you know, all the rock festivals. And so by the 70s, we'd established, and then we started having, you know, the spinoffs from rock, you know, different, you know, soft rock and pop and hard rock and even the first inkling of heavy metal. So you had so many different forms of rock and roll music by the 70s, and a lot of it was just kind of like this, just really what you'd call popular music, just feel good music, you know, whether it was Orleans or Starbuck or Starland Vocal Band, or it goes on and on. You know, there was a lot of really what we, I guess we'd call soft rock. That was a big time soft rock era. England Dan and John Ford Coley, you know, on and on.
Those were great.
On and on. Speaking of on and on, Stephen Bishop, on and on, on and on. Oh, I didn't say that, but that was another
what
one.
What a smooth. Those are late night songs to have a glass of wine with somebody or whatever, man. On and on, yeah. Gary, I've got some of the bands I've got today, the five I've listed.
Okay.
Two of them were pioneers of the country rock scene that came on in the, that carried from the 60s. There was two instrumental groups, and I don't want to get into the 60s, but what's going to happen when we go in the 60s, we're going to cover some of the 70s again, where they were born in the 60s. And the two bands I'm talking about is Poco and the Flying Burrito Brothers. Poco came out of, was a spinoff of Buffalo Springfield. And they were one of the first pioneers of country rock with a steel, an actual steel guitar, you know, and Flying Burrito Brothers were Graham Parsons, you know, and Poco had that Heart of the Night, that big hit, Crazy Love, and then the big album Poco Live in 1970 was as big as the Fillmore, you know, and those groups get lost in conversations.
Well, you know, I told you before, my Flying Burritos brother's story is, you know, when I was living in Meridian, Mississippi, that was the home of Chris Etheridge, who was a bass player for the Flying Burrito Brothers. Yeah, and he's passed away.
The Nudie Suits.
Yeah.
The birth of Graham Parsons had such a vision, and he's a Waycross guy, you know, Waycross Jordan.
Oh, I know. Listen, if Graham Parsons had not passed when he did, there's just absolutely no telling you know, what his musical impact, it was incredible anyway, but we, you know, we just got a glimpse into what he would have been, because he was phenomenal artist.
And you can't leave out, this one's for the Sheriff, because he brought this up a couple months ago, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were,
Mr.
Bojangles, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This
is a great time.
Man, it was on.
And, you know, you talked about the kind of the rock, the soft pop into the country. You know, nobody, I think, represents that better than Exile, who had that Kiss You All Over. Huge hit.
Oh, God.
And then later kind of did a country version later on. So,
Gary, I remember playing that in the clubs, and it was like the Bellamy Brothers, Let Your Love Flow. We didn't know which way to go. It was going to be rock or country. And then you got Those Aren't Mountain Daredevils. My Lord, Jackie Blue.
Great
song. If You Want to Go to Heaven. Great.
Yeah.
You don't ever hear nobody mention them anymore.
No, you don't.
And I started racking my head. Seals and Crofts.
Oh, yeah.
Lord. Some, what they had in the 70s.
Yeah, Summer Breeze is one of the all-time classics. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Hummingbird. Just And then in the 80s, boom, that was it.
Yeah. Well, the 70s were special because, you know, for one thing, you were on the road playing music. And I was, you know, like I said, I was born in 64, but my mom, you know, opened me up to all types of music. So by the 70s, man, I had that little record player and, you know, I'd be taking records off, and whether it was Marshall Tucker Band or the Beatles or whatever, I mean, it was a great time for music. Great time for music. And FM radio, you know, FM radio, yeah. That's when FM radio, you know, boomed, and you could hear more music and for a longer period of time when you're in the car. Cause I can remember listening to AM radio, you know, you'd have it for about, if you were on the road, you know, it'd be during the daytime, it'd be, you know, about 30 minutes and that you'd have to be finding another station. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it won't ever be another 70s. And the 60s is going to be a huge impact. This is going to be really fun. But the 70s, this was the carryover from the 60s that lasted, you know, all the genres of music came alive. Right. Everybody, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, that's one I'm going to feature in November. We haven't even really gotten into what, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They carry from Woodstock.
Well, rattle off your five bands again for our listeners, and we'll start taking some calls. Rattle off your five bands that you have for this week again one more time.
We got Orleans, Poco, Flying Burrito Brothers, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Actually, I added one that's going to be more than five. Ozark Mountain Daredevils, Jackie Blue.
Hell yeah, great song.
And Seals and Cross.
Okay. All right, folks, just some feel-good bands from the 70s. If you've got some, call in. Let us know who they are. And, I mean, there's, you know, Larry just scratched the surface. There's so many of them. But let's take some phone calls. Let's lead off with Tom. All right, Tom, you're on with Larry the Music Man.
Larry, it's good to talk to you again. I appreciate you every week. I want to bring a guy up that I thought about yesterday, and then I want to tell you something that I'd like to see you and May do. First of all, the guy is J.D. Salva, and his song, The Eagles and Linda Ronstadt and Jackson Brown and all that bunch, you know, and they all tried to hire him, and he said that he couldn't work for somebody, and kind of like Gary told us about the Eagles, they said, you know, this is a dictatorship. This is not a democracy. And he put the word out. He couldn't work for nobody because he was who he was. But I thought about him, and I thought about you at the same time. Now, here's what I'd like to see you and May do. On Twitter and Instagram, there is a handful of people that come up, and they post videos or musical audio of songs from the past, and they post a little story about it. And I think your knowledge and your genre that you worked in and performed in would be fascinating to a lot of people on both of those platforms. I think you and May should consider doing something like that. Now, I'm going to give you a website on Twitter that you need to check out. It may give you some ideas. It's
please do.
Missy Philly. Miss Missy Philly. And you go to her and watch what she does, and she's got her way of doing things, but I think your way of doing things with May helping you, you could put something out there, and once you cross that threshold of so many views, money rolls in.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that now, but us old musicians need all we can get. Tom Phillip, as well as Gary Phillip, has got my number. If you ever want to message me with that info, feel free, brother. Are you on Facebook?
No, I don't Facebook. That's too cheap for me. I got to go. But Phillip, give me your number, and because he know me and him communicate. And I'll get your number, and I'll send you some of those things for you to look at. I think you've got a product that people would be interested in. I really do, because look at all of us over here on the radio that can't wait for Wednesday to hear what you're going to say.
Well, I know it works. You know, Craig, Gary and I talked about this. Craig Reed has a three-hour podcast. It was just hard to get Craig narrowed down in such short segments. And I really thought about that because Maymay keeps saying, tell it now while you can remember it. You know, I can sit down and list, like, I already got my songs for next week because I live during this period of time, you know, and it's all in my head. I haven't even, you said tell road stories. I've got tons of road stories that you can't Google or AI. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Gary told me to be more, I'm going to be more Larry the Music Man on the segment. I kind of got away from it. And, you know, you got to do what works in the time you're allotted. And I think what I do works. So we're going to keep it like that.
I felt compelled to bring that back up to you. And so you and Maymay can discuss it. I really think that it would work, and I really think it'd be successful because I'm interested in what you've got to say, and I figure there's a million other people that would be also entertained by those stories.
Well, I'm going to look into it, brother. I appreciate your input. Tom, let me ask you something. Desperado, Don Henley, the Eagles, or Linda Ronstadt?
Linda,
thank you. Okay.
All right, Tom. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get you Larry's number, and you can.
You can connect
with him and talk about the long form stuff for YouTube or something.
Let me ask you before I go. Do you think that's a good idea for Larry and Maymay?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, I think that certainly people are doing it. So, yeah, it's maybe that's something you, like I said, you can send him some more information on.
I'll send you the same thing I send Larry, and you can help with the decision part of it. To me, and I'm by myself here, I think it's a good idea, and I think it generates income, influencers, and all like that.
It's a possibility.
Take that into consideration.
All right, Tom. Yeah. Thanks, man. Anyway, appreciate you. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get to Punch Raggy Glory through 205-342-9904 if you want to join in on Larry the Music Man segment. Hey, Raggy Glory.
Wow, okay. I was early. Cool. Hey.
What's going on?
Okay, man. I was waiting until we had more callers. I mean, I'm so excited about having callers call in. Hey, Tom, good talk, Sheriff. Even though you gave me a warning a long time ago, I still love you. Thanks for calling in. Great idea. Let's get back to the bands that you called out. You said Poco. Help me. A little foggy here. Was it Me and You and a Dog Named Boo?
That was Lobo.
Okay. Thank you.
Poco was Richie Furay and Randy Meisner and Rusty Young. Check them out, brother. They are really good.
Because Randy went to the Eagles and had their very first really successful hit with Take It to the Limit. Yeah. Burrito Brothers.
Poco introduced that steel guitar at a time that had almost gotten lost from the 60s and brought it back into country rock in a heavier way. Yeah, check them out and explore, man. They're really earthy. They just had a lot of sounds going on.
Burrito Brothers. Okay, but I remember the name. I can't remember their song. But what I do want to ask, did the gentleman that joined and helped form the Eagles, was it Bernie somebody who was a guitarist? Bernie Ledden, right?
Yeah.
Ledden.
And he was the one that wrote one of my favorite all-time Eagle songs, Already Gone. I mean,
a lot of people say they lost their groove when he left. He got shuffled out
a little bit because he preferred the more, you know, a little more folk style, and as they became more of a rock band, that really didn't suit him.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was doing the country thing, man. Yeah.
Orleans, the one that came to mind was You're Still the One. We all sang that, cruising.
Ozark Mountain Devils. Oh my gosh, you can go down a list on that. But If You Want to Get to Heaven was the one that got me hooked on them.
There you go.
Seals and Crofts. Summer Breeze.
Oh yeah. Doesn't get any better than that.
Diamond Girl was my favorite, but all of them are great. I always loved Diamond Girl. That intro.
Diamond Girl. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I got for now, because I'm interested to see how this goes. And, hey, you know what? I loved Tom's idea, but y'all keep me informed on how.
Oh, we will. The reason I had to take you a little earlier today, Raggedy Gore, is, like I said, we kind of got a condensed segment today because I have to leave early. And so I had to go ahead and take you.
And prayers and blessings to you, because I know what it's like to be at a dentist.
It's all good.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Raggedy Gore. That's a good call. Hey, listen, we still got time to squeeze in a couple more calls for Larry the Music Man, 205-342-9904. Gil just sent me a text and sent in some bands that he loves from the 70s. He had the America, which, listen, America, you can't talk about the 70s without America, Larry. That's for sure.
That was on my list coming up. I'm on America. Okay, I'm going to write them down right
now. Yeah, he had America, KC and the Sunshine Band.
I think we already did them.
Yeah. And then a band that kind of started in the late 70s, but a great band, the Cars, kind of took that power pop groove from and had mega success with that. So that's from Gil. So, but you're right, man. One thing about the 70s, again, we're hitting on it before we wrap up the segment. It had so many different styles of music and it was really before, again, way before social media. You got American Bandstand, you had a few TV stations, TV shows where you could catch music, but basically it was the radio or buying records, and that was it. And we had not really, Larry, and you, like I said, when you were playing on the road, y'all would play country, y'all would play rock, y'all would play pop. We hadn't got into this era yet where you were defined by your music. In other words, if you were a hard rock fan, you couldn't listen to pop. You know, you couldn't listen to Top 40 if you were. You know, we weren't criticizing people for their musical choices. You know, you might listen to Paul McCartney and Wings one record, then you might put on Black Sabbath. You know, there was not this feeling of you couldn't listen to different types of music. Now, you know, so much, and we got into the 80s and 90s, you know, if you were a heavy metal fan, boy, you better not be caught listening to a pop record, remember? Or if you were
a band. Oh, man, you could go from Black Sabbath to Poco, or whatever.
People didn't care. It's just whatever sounded good.
I'll say this to the day I get earned. It'll never be a time like the 70s in music.
No, there won't be.
It's just,
there won't be.
That's why Gary on ESPN, I use ESPN to watch the games. You know what rules commercials? Classic rock.
Sure. Bad
Country. The Who are one of the most played groups on the commercials.
Yeah, you're right.
I've heard Still the One.
Yeah. Well, like you said, the 70s, man, were the heyday, because it just it was the best. And if you didn't live through them and didn't experience it, man, you missed out. But that's a great thing now about the world we live in. You can go to YouTube and you can experience it. You can go back and watch concerts or watch music videos or performances from the 70s, just like you were living in that time. So it's pretty cool. Hey, Larry, so next week we're going to kind of just keep expanding on this topic.
Yeah, I need everybody's mind into this I want to make sure we cover everything. Like I said, I've already got my list for next week. It's the bands like we did today that made a big impact but just don't get the you could tell, like, oh wow, Ozark Mountain Dairy.
Well, 70s,
Gary,
70s bands, let me get this out to everybody. 70s bands that impacted you, they didn't have to be mega stars or anything, just bands that you really enjoyed listening to and their songs. Bring that to the table next week. All right, go ahead, Larry.
That didn't last into the 80s, more or less. Some did, like Poco or Still. And there's another band, Louisiana LaRue. That's one on my list. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give two hints. I'm going to give two away. Little River Band and Louisiana LaRue's on my list for next week.
Okay.
I never forget callers and what they ask. Bryce asked me last week, did Travis Womack ever play with the Allman Brothers Band? Well, I messaged Willie Perkins. We're friends through GABA, the longtime road manager of the original band. The problem was Dwayne died too early. There was admiration between the two, but he did play with the 80s version of the Allman Brothers Band. He did tour with them. Yeah, so I thought I'd get that to Bryce.
Yeah, all right, Bryce. Well, good. Travis Womack did play with the Allman Brothers in the 80s. Hey, thank you, Larry, and we'll do it again next week. And I'm planning on being back at 10:30 next week unless something comes up.
Just let me know, brother. I'm close.
All right, okay. Thank you. All right, 10:23 here on the Gary Harris Show. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa is a great place to work out. Lately, I have not been able to get in as often. Man, Chase, it's just been one of those periods of time. I just... Like, today it's the dentist. It's just so much that's come up that I haven't been able to get to the Y. But I'll be back in there soon. I'd love for you to join me, man. Beautiful facility. Great people, both the members and the staff. You'll love it. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa, 2300 13th Street. Find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org or give them a call and find out some information on the phone, 205-345-9622. Or you can... just go by and see them. Just stop in. They'll show you around. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa.
True South Generators. Online at truesouthgenerators.com. That's truesouthgenerators.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events.
3-8070 to book your appointment today. That's 205-343-8070. Located in the DCH Medical Tower. Live Well Primary Care. It's time.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another beautiful day today with a sunny sky, the high 74. Clear tonight, the low 48. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 75. Friday, increasingly cloudy, the chance of a shower by afternoon. Friday's high 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Great song, Laura Chacault. Burning for You off the Fire of Unknown Origin album, 1981. One of my faves right there, Chase. Love some Blue Oyster Cult. 10:28 on the Gary Harris Show. We got a few minutes before I have to duck on out of here, but we're going to have the Drew DeArmond interview for you coming up after this break from yesterday, talking Alabama football and basketball in depth with the Rocket Man. So that'll be coming up. A couple of quick thoughts here before I do have to leave on Alabama football. Had a good conversation with Rodney Orr on Tider Insider TV last night. By the way, you can find that at WVUA23.com or at TiderInsider.com. You can watch the show if you didn't see it live last night. But one thing I will say about what Alabama football has accomplished is they've set the table, but they still haven't gotten to the main course. You know, the appetizer's been good, but it's time to get to the main course. And what I mean by that is what's been accomplished to this point has just kind of, you know, whetted the appetite for dinner, because it could go, you know, dinner could still be ruined. It's not guaranteed anything at this point. I mean, you lose, and this, again, this is just not being negative. It's just being honest about what could still happen. Alabama wins these next four. We know what's going to happen. 11-1 in Atlanta, playing for the SEC championship, locked into the college football playoff, regardless of what they do in that game. And if you win that game, you're the SEC champion. 12-1, you're going to have a top four seed and have a bye. You lose that game, you're going to still be in the playoff, but you will not have a bye. You could wind up having a game on campus, which would be pretty cool. But you're in position to do what you want to do. But let's say even if you get past LSU on Saturday night, which I think Alabama will. By the way, my score prediction last night on Tider Insider TV, I think Alabama's going to roll. I got 38-17, Chase. But let's say you get past LSU, and let's say Oklahoma rolls in here, which has been a team that's been a thorn in the side for Alabama. Going back to Franchione and Shula, and I know Alabama beat them in the semifinal in 2018, but then last year rolled in there to Norman, and Brent Venables, when he was at Clemson, he gave Alabama trouble. Obviously last year, and that defense for Oklahoma is good. And now Mateer is back healthy. So, you know, you drop that game to Oklahoma, and all of a sudden you got two losses, one in the SEC. And then, Lord forbid, if you go down to Auburn and were to get shocked in the Iron Bowl, all of a sudden then you're 9-3, losing two of your last three, and you may not even be in the playoff. So it's not done yet. There's work to be done. And I think Kalen DeBoer in his press conference on Monday made that clear, that you can't look at, well, we got three straight home games and then we play at Jordan Hill. We don't leave the state of Alabama the rest of the regular season. Great to have three straight home games, but that doesn't guarantee you anything. He said that. And the fans still need to bring the energy, the excitement, the enthusiasm. The players need to be locked in, because it could still go south for a lot of these teams. What those playoff rankings looked like last night, what college football looks like right now, and what it looks like a month from now could be completely different. Could be completely different. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is to get to the finish line. Man, we've seen it in races, man. You see somebody out front, and then with, you know, 500 yards to go, you see somebody start to catch them. And by 300 yards to go, they're right on their hip. And by 200 yards to go or 100, they've passed them. And the person who led the race most of the way does not win the race, because they could not finish it. They couldn't hold on. So that's the challenge for Alabama and all of these teams that have put themselves in position, is to now close the drill. And this is the toughest part of the season, because you're in the last part of the season. You got rivalry games like Alabama and Auburn. In Alabama's case, you got two really tradition-laden football programs in LSU and Oklahoma coming in here. So nothing is in the bag yet. And we know this Alabama team, what they've accomplished. But boy, we also know the game at Georgia could have gone the other way. The game against Vandy could have gone the other way. The game against Missouri could have gone the other way. The game against South Carolina could have gone the other way. So you got to continue to win close games, because I don't really see a lot of blowouts. Even though I've got this one Saturday night, 38-17. But and maybe that's wishful thinking. I just think Alabama, but Oklahoma, Auburn, that could be really close games, really close games. And Saturday night could be. I could be wrong. All right, let's get to the timeout. When we come back, Drudy Armand, the Rocket Man, will be discussing Alabama football and basketball. I'm going to leave it with Chase. I'll be back here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the Gary Harris Show. And we'll be jam-packed tomorrow. We've got the coach, Ellis Johnson. We've got D. Orlando Ledbetter. We've got Jeff Spiegel. So I will talk to you then. But don't tune off the radio at all, because this interview that we had with Drudy Armand yesterday was very good on Alabama football and basketball.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
With Drudy Armand next on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.